Good evening. Thanks for coming out on a Monday night. How many people go to church on Monday night? Not very many. You know, a church I pastored years ago in Indiana, one of the ladies in our church was talking to a co-worker, and the co-worker said, "You Baptists must be awful bad people as much as you have to go to church." It's like she thought going to church was a penalty of some kind, you know. Didn't understand how people could enjoy it. You know, to come and sit and have somebody yell at them, you know, and sing and fellowship. And unsaved people don't understand that, you know. We are a little strange these days, but we are strangers for sure, according to the Bible. But it's a delight to be here. You know, yesterday we had two services and then we ate. Tonight we ate and we have a service. Same thing tomorrow night, same thing Wednesday night. By Wednesday night, I am going to be fed up with this church. But I have enjoyed the fellowship, and you've been a warm, friendly group, and it's just a blessing to be with you. One thing that I like is a Christian can go any place in the world and meet other believers in Christ and just feel right at home, be able to fellowship with them right away. You don't have to, you know, it just seems like the Spirit of God gives us a sense of unity and blessing. And I've sensed that Spirit here. And I thank the Lord for the ministry of this local church. And I appreciate you being here. I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Job. No surprise there, right? Tonight we'll look at chapter 13. Chapter 13. And I think the key verse to the entire book of Job is found in this chapter. And it's going to be our theme for the message tonight. That's verse 15. Job chapter 13 and verse 15. Go to Psalms and turn left, okay, if you're having trouble finding Job. That's where it is. Job 13, verse 15. Speaking of God, Job says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him." Tonight I want to speak to you about unshakable faith. That's what I believe Job is speaking of here. Unshakable faith. And I think that in this chapter, we'll see three things that unshakable faith will not be moved by. Now, if you're a note taker, all these points start with that. Unshakable faith will not be moved by. So just use diddle marks, okay? After you get the first one right. Unshakable faith. You know, a lot of times our faith tends to waver. We're told in the New Testament book of James that that we should not be tossed about with every wind of doctrine. That we should, we're told in the scripture, we should be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. But sometimes we find ourselves wavering. And Job again was a sinner by nature, as we all are. But he was a believer. And God had justified him. He had declared him to be righteous. In other words, he's a forgiven sinner. What a blessing it is to be a forgiven sinner. It's, you know, we're all sinners, but what a blessing to be a forgiven one. You know, and I thank the Lord for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. No way we could ever make ourselves good enough to deserve a home in heaven. Because it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And I thank God for salvation in Jesus Christ. It's not anything that I have ever done to deserve it. Anything I could ever earn. It's just a free gift by grace through faith. What a blessing that is. Well, Job, although he lived in a different dispensation and didn't even have a verse of the Bible to go by, yet he was a believer in God, and he practiced the animal sacrifice, the shed blood of a substitute, and he believed God, but he demonstrated unshakable faith. And I want to notice, first of all, Unshakable faith will not be moved by false teachers. And I want to stop right now and pray. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, thank you for these dear people and the opportunity we have to be together. I thank you for the wonderful spirit that's here. I thank you for this story of Job. Thank you that we today have the privilege of having the entire Bible written and preserved for us so that we today can know what the truth is and we can believe you. But I thank you for the testimony of Job, who had so little of privileges compared to what we have today, but who had an unshakable faith, and help us to be challenged by his testimony to follow his example. And we'll thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Really, I think the whole idea of this chapter is that you must have unshakable faith. That is the kind of faith that will not waver and change with the circumstances of life. Some people have what I call circumstantial faith, meaning if everything's going well, they'll be in pretty decent relationship with God, they think, you know. But when something goes wrong, something they don't like happens, something that makes them uncomfortable or in pain or hearts broken or whatever it might be, financial reversal, loss of a loved one, any number of things, sometimes people waver in their relationship to God when bad things happen. The truth is, bad things happen to godly people. They do. Look at the Apostle Paul. He had a lot of bad things happen in his life, you know, as he was serving God, as he was doing right. The perils that he faced of robbers and all kinds of sickness and endangerment and imprisonment and all those kind of things, stoning and left for dead and on and on and on, while he was serving God and doing right. He experienced a lot of hardship, a lot of difficulties. So living for God doesn't mean that you won't have problems. Don't listen to those who will tell you if you have enough faith, all your problems will disappear. They will eventually, but not in this life, okay? We just have to be patient, that's all. God's got it all figured out and going to solve it, settle it for us. But it's not all going to happen in this life. Because we are sinners, we are going to experience pain, sorrow, suffering, and death. You know, none of those things existed in the world before there was sin in the world. But when sin came in the world, death came by sin. That's just the way it happens, okay? So, we can expect that problems are going to happen, but those problems should not separate us from our relationship to God. And far too often, people live by, again, what I call circumstantial faith. That is, their so-called relationship to God is dependent upon the circumstances of life that they're experiencing. So on one day, God is good. On another day, God's not so good. But that's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible never changes. He's always good all the time, no matter what is happening in my life or in yours. So, I've stated this first point, that unshakable faith will not be moved by false teachers. And here we're going to talk about Job's friends. As I said yesterday, I believe that Job's three friends and a fourth guy who showed up unannounced later, that I think they were real friends at the beginning when they are first introduced in the story, because Job, having gone through all this devastating bad news, the horrible losses he experienced, for 7 days his friends came and sat with him and just grieved and didn't say a word. They just tried to share his burden. You know, that's a tremendous ministry. Amen. Just to share somebody's burden, just to care about them, to pray for them, be concerned about them. You don't have to have all the right words to say. These guys were better off before they had anything to say. They were better friends before they opened their mouths. But when they did start speaking, a lot of the things they said were accurate if it applied to somebody else, because they spoke so much about God chastening hypocrites and wicked people and all of this. The trouble is they were applying that to Job, and that was a wrong application. We have God's testimony about Job, that he was a perfect and upright man. He was one that feared God and he eschewed evil. Okay, he was a believer and he lived for God and he loved the Lord and avoided sin. That was God, what God said about him three times in the first two chapters. So Job wasn't living in wickedness. The pain that he was experiencing was not because of him being chastened by God. What Job didn't know was that there was a battle for glory going on between God and Satan. Job wasn't in on the conversation that God and Satan had about him. Job didn't know that God had given Satan permission to attack Job. In fact, we see several times through the book that Job thought God was the one that was against him. And I think that's indicated in this verse 15 that we read, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." No matter how bad it gets, no matter how bad God treats me, I'm going to trust him. But these friends came with what turned out to be false teaching because it didn't apply to Job. And notice in the first few verses here, let's read verses 4 through 7. "But ye," he's addressing his three friends, "are forgers of lies. Ye are all physicians of no value. Oh, that ye would altogether hold your peace, and it should be your wisdom." In other words, the smartest thing you could do is not say anything. You know. "Hear now my reasoning, and hearken to the pleadings of my lips. Will ye speak wickedly for God, and talk deceitfully for him?" Let me tell you, folks, there are people who do that, who speak deceitfully, claiming to be speaking for God. Yes. There's all kinds of falsehood out there, false teachings. How many times have you heard somebody say, "Well, in the mind of God, it's such and such a thing," and it has nothing to do with the Bible whatsoever, you know. Or, "God overlooks those kinds of things." There are people who claim to speak for God. But you know, there's a way to test whether they're speaking for God or not. And that's to test it according to the Bible. Anybody who tells you something about God that contradicts what God has already told us in the Bible about himself is a false teacher. They don't have to be standing in a pulpit. They might be your next door neighbor. But if they contradict what God says in the Bible, they're false teachers. And these friends of Job were, they actually made up some accusations about him that weren't even true, had no basis in fact or evidence whatsoever. They accused him of abusing people and mistreating some and so forth. And Job hadn't done any of that. But their whole concept was, if bad things are happening to you, it's because God is punishing you. That is false doctrine. Sometimes that's the case. When I'm a bad boy, my Heavenly Father gives me a spanking. And I deserve it. But the thing is, when God gives me a spanking, nobody has to tell me that's what's happening. I know that's what's happening. When I was 19 years old, I was involved in a car accident. And I had been going through quite a while. I'd been saved for many years. I was saved when I was 6. But when I was 19, I was going through a time of spiritual rebellion in my heart. It wasn't a lot of external things. I didn't do a lot of wicked things that a lot of people do at that age. But, you know, you can be in church in every service and still not be right with God. And that was me. And I had a car accident. Nobody had to tell me why I had that car accident. God told me. Before the ambulance ever got there, I knew why I'd had that car accident. I knew it's because I'd been fighting against God in my heart. Now, since then, I've had other car accidents without thinking, well, this is God chastening me. It was, you know, I hit a snowdrift, whatever, you know. So I'm not saying that every time I've had a car accident, God's been chastening me. What I am saying is, when God was chastening me, God told me that. I knew it. So these friends didn't have to make up anything. They didn't have to put Job on an illicit guilt trip. But they claimed to be speaking for God. And there are people today who claim to be speaking for God, and they will tell you all kinds of things to make you feel good. But if they don't come from the Bible, don't believe them. Let me tell you, church people, pastor, don't listen. I'm going to talk about you here. Okay? When this man stands up before you and preaches, you get your Bible out there and check up on him, make sure he's telling you the truth. You know, God commended the church at Berea, because that's what they did. Even when the apostles were preaching, they got their Bibles out to make sure they were hearing the truth. And I know Brother Northcott's not going to be offended if you do what I just told you to do. Okay. And by the way, if he gets away from the Bible, to kick him out and get an honest preacher in here, all right? And I'd vote with you if I had a vote, okay? But what I'm saying is, every preacher, every person who attempts to speak for God should be measured by the Bible. Not by any nice-sounding opinion or philosophy. And the thing is, in order for unshakable faith to not be moved by false doctrine, you need a solid grip upon the Word of God. You need to have the Bible in your heart as well as in your mind. I know that when you come here, you'll hear the Bible, but you'll need more than what you hear when you come to church. I mean, you get the Bible on Sunday, all right? But you live 7 days a week. The Bible is your spiritual milk if you're new in Christ. It's your spiritual meat if you've been saved a long time. Nobody has ever exhausted it. Nobody knows all of it. You never will know so much about it that there's no sense in reading it anymore. It ought to be a daily habit of your life. You know, we are so invaded in our minds with the things of the world that dishonor God. I mean, we hear it in every aspect of media. We hear filth. We hear immorality. We hear things that dishonor God, things that would try to influence our minds to agree with Satan's desires for us. We need something to combat that. We need our minds to be renewed, according to Romans chapter 12. We need to think differently. And we think according to the things that we feed into our minds. The more we listen to the world and its philosophy, the more we'll think like the world and agree with Satan's will for our lives. And the more we'll be giving Satan glory over God, the more we listen to the world. But we get into the Bible, get our roots solidly in the Scripture, let our minds be renewed so our thinking is right, we'll find that we can glorify God that way over Satan. But unshakable faith will not be moved by false teachers, because there will be a solid foundation in biblical truth and understanding. I'm thankful for God's establishment of the local church. What a help it is to believers in Christ to grow, a place to be fed, a place to learn, a place to fellowship, yes, but a place to learn more about God and His Word. But you need it not just in your head. The Bible doesn't say, "Thy word have I hid in my head that I might not sin against thee." You can memorize verses in your head, and that's a wonderful thing to do. But they got to slide down into your heart so they motivate the decisions that you make and the things that you believe in and the things that you practice and the things you condone in your life and in your home. But a solid foundation of God's Word gives us discernment of error. If we really know truth, then we can discern error. And thy word is truth, Jesus said to the Father. Now, the false teachers, what should they do? Well, verse 5 tells us, "Oh, that ye would altogether hold your peace, and it should be your wisdom." The best thing the false teachers could do is keep their mouths closed. right? Just keep their opinions themselves. But unfortunately, they don't do that, do they? So if we're going to demonstrate unshakable faith, we need to know God's word. We need to have it so in our minds that we learn to think in agreement with God instead of thinking in agreement with the Satan, with Satan and his demons. You know, the Bible tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, faith has its basis in the Bible. I've heard people say, well, I have faith that I'm going to get a new car. Well, show me a Bible verse that promises that to you, and I'll share your faith. But that it isn't faith if God didn't tell you that. It might be wishful thinking, you know, but faith is not wishful thinking. Faith has its foundation in something God said. And you can stake all of your life and all of eternity on what God said. But I wouldn't want to waste my life in wishful thinking, right? But I want to know what God says, and I want to place my faith in that. But if I don't know God's word, I'm likely to be deceived by the false teachers. Unshakable faith will not be moved by false teachers. But secondly, notice again, verse 15, and I say it this way, unshakable faith will not be moved by drastic circumstances. I don't know how more drastic it could be than what Job says here, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Now, Job, remember, thought that it was God who was afflicting him. He didn't know it was Satan doing this. He thought it was God. He's basically saying, I don't care how bad it gets. If God kills me, I'm still going to trust him. Now, that's unshakable faith, all right? But Job had experienced drastic circumstances already. We spent some time on this yesterday, listing some of the things that he went through, how that he went from being the wealthiest man of the East to poverty-stricken in just a matter of moments as the messengers came to the door telling him the total of 11,500 animals all gone. He went from wealth to poverty in a matter of moments. While one messenger was giving his report, the other, just as he was finishing up, the other stepped in and started to give his report. And the fourth messenger gave the worst news of all, that all 10 of Job's grown children had died when a storm came and the house they were in collapsed upon them. Boom, 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 boom. His wealth is gone. Children are gone. Just, that's pretty drastic. We noticed in chapter 2 that he was then afflicted by boils from the very top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Every inch of his body covered with sore, grievous boils. Extremely painful. He couldn't sit down, stand up, lie down, be any position without putting pressure on those painful boils so that all day long he was in pain. And in the daytime, we see in chapter 7, he longed for the night when he could rest and get relief from that pain and agony. But when he would lie down, he couldn't go to sleep. And he would lay in bed wishing the sun would come up so he could get up, you know. And then when he did doze off, he was terrified by nightmares. All of that described in chapter 7. Basically, there was not a moment, day or night, when Job was free from suffering. That's pretty drastic. And Job said, I don't care if God kills me, I'm still going to trust him. Unshakable faith will not be moved by drastic circumstances. Job didn't have the circumstantial faith that I spoke of earlier. That is, his faith didn't fluctuate and change with the events of his life. He knew God. He trusted God. Whether the sun was shining or the rain was falling on his head. Whether things were pleasant as they were at the beginning of the story, or horrible by the time we get to the end of chapter 1, and all the way up to chapter 42, to the beginning of that chapter, all that time, which I think was at least months, I don't know that it was years, but at least months, when Job saw no hope of relief. He didn't expect any of that suffering to go away except in death. And he longed for death. I have never hurt so bad that I wanted to die. I'm not afraid to die theologically. I'm afraid of it physically. You know? But I'm not afraid of what's going to happen to me after I die. I know I'll go to heaven to be with God. He promised me that, right? I don't deserve it, but he promised me that. So I know about that. I'm not worried about eternity. But I still put my seatbelt on when I get in the car, you know. I like living. It's the only thing I've ever done. I've never wanted to die. Never wanted to go through the experience. It's kind of like coming up here. I wanted to be here. I just didn't want to go through the experience of getting here, you know. All right. Well, and I want to go to heaven. I'm just not too crazy about the experience of getting there. But it is an appointment. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this is judgment. So I expect it to happen. But Job wanted to die because he was so miserable. But he still wasn't angry with God. He still wasn't blaming God. He still wasn't saying, if that's the way you're going to treat me, I'll never darken the door. Well, he wasn't going to church. They didn't have one, okay? But you understand, that's how a lot of people respond today. When something happens they don't like, well, if that's the way God's going to treat me, I'm never going to go to church again. I'm never going to read my Bible again. I'm never going to have anything to do with God. That wasn't Job's attitude, because he had unshakable faith. An unshakable faith will not be moved by drastic circumstances. And then notice verse 16. Job says, he, speaking of God, also shall be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before him. And here's, I think, the third point I'd like to note from this chapter. Unshakable faith will not be moved by hypocrisy in others. Have you ever heard people say, well, the reason I never go to church is because there are hypocrites in the church? And by the way, that is true. There are hypocrites in the church. You know, a hypocrite is someone who tries to make you believe he's something else than he really is spiritually. He's a faker. I think, to be honest, all of us have an element of hypocrisy. And what I mean is, I don't want you to know all the bad things about me. I try to hide them as much as I can. You know, if I show you anything, I only want to show you things that I think will be acceptable, and you'll think well of me. I think we're all that way. That's why we comb our hair and brush our teeth, you know, something like that. But a real hypocrite is a pretender. A real phony is one who wants to make you think he is a believer in God, but he really is not in his heart. And I've heard many people say, the reason I don't go to church is because there are hypocrites there. But you know the hypocrites go to Walmart? I've never heard anybody say, oh, the reason I don't ever go to Walmart anymore because there are hypocrites at Walmart. But hypocrites go to Walmart. They go to the gas stations, the restaurants, the ball games. They go everywhere you go. The only place people don't want to be around hypocrites is in church. That's crazy, you know. I'll bet if you work somewhere in secular employment, I'll bet there are hypocrites at your job. There are probably people there who are not there because they want to carry out the mission of the company. There are probably, this is really hard to believe, there are probably some people there just because they get money. And they wouldn't be there if they didn't get money for it. Can you imagine? What hypocrisy. How can you possibly work around hypocrites 40 hours a week? You ought to quit your job. Because they're hypocrites where you work. You know, God knows who the hypocrites are. There's going to come a day when he separates the sheep from the goats. And he knows the difference. You know, when they're babies, sheep and goats look a lot alike. When they grow up, they start looking different. But there's a time when it's pretty hard to tell them apart. But God knows from the very beginning the difference between the sheep and the goats, between people who are truly saved and the hypocrites who are just putting on a false front, the pretenders, the counterfeit Christians. But I've one thought about that counterfeit idea. You know, in the U.S., there are people who try to counterfeit $20 bills. And it's quite a risky venture because you could wind up in jail if you get caught doing that. But I've never heard anybody say, I'm never going to use a $20 bill because I know they're hypocrites, phony counterfeit $20 bills out there. No, we don't quit using the real just because the fake exists. But have you ever wondered why people go to the risk of counterfeiting money? Why would anybody risk going to jail printing money? It's because there's value in the real thing. Yeah. Now, there's not as much value in a $20 bill as there used to be, but nevertheless, there is value in the real thing. That's why people make counterfeits. That's why they create the phonies. Have you ever wondered why they're hypocrite Christians? Why would anybody want to pretend to be a Christian? It's because there's value in the real thing. And don't miss that wonderful value because there are phonies out there. But unshakable faith will not be moved by hypocrisy in others. All of us, if we live long enough, we'll come across somebody who claims to be a preacher, a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, or whatever, whose lives really don't back up what they claim to be. We're going to encounter the hypocrites and the phonies, but that doesn't mean we should reject the real thing. And God knows who the hypocrites are. He knows who it is just trying to pull the wool over people's eyes. But none of those hypocrites will ever pull the wool over God's eyes. Unshakable faith will not be moved by hypocrisy in others. We don't have to worry about the hypocrites. God will take care of them. But Job said, I don't care how bad it gets. If the false teachers, and they were invading him, they were just jumping on him. But that didn't turn him away from God. The drastic circumstances come, if God wants to kill me, that's not going to turn me away from trusting him. If there are hypocrites out there, that is not going to shake my faith. That was Job's attitude. And it ought to be ours as well. God wants you to have unshakable faith. Not to be moved by people or by circumstances, but to be solidly established in God's word with your faith unshakable in what God has promised in the Bible. Nothing's more reliable than that. Let's bow for prayer.